Amen. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, and we thank you, Lord, for everybody that shows up tonight will be blessed. We thank you, Father, that we're going to be led by your Spirit tonight. We praise you and we glorify you for all the work that you're doing in us. And Lord, I just praise you and thank you for bringing us along to where you want us to be, Lord, and that's being led by your Spirit at all times. And we praise you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for keeping the distractions out of our lives, helping us to keep distractions out of our lives, reminding us to keep our mind on you. And we praise you and glorify you, Father, for doing that in each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. And Lord, as we stand on those promises, we thank you, Father, for answering our prayers in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. It's an awesome time we're in. We praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. All right, has anybody got a prayer request? Testimony. Yeah, Teresa.
Can you hear me?
Barely.
Barely. I can barely hear you too.
I can hear you good now.
Okay. So I just need it closer. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last night, a storm came through, a really severe storm, really strong. And when I looked at the radars, and they had all the magnetic frequencies all the way from Texas all the way to Montana, so they were trying, and the weather people, like AccuWeather and NOAA, they were saying Topeka and Kansas City specifically are going to be hit. Well, so I was up at 4:30 praying, just thanking God for giving us the rain, giving us the water, but also binding any nefarious, activity going on. And it just turned out to be, it was strong and it was windy and it was lightning, 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 lightning. And but it just settled down and we just had gentle rain and a lot of rain.
Awesome. Thank you,
Yeah.
Lord. Glory be to God.
God's good. God's
Thank
good.
you, Jesus.
He's good to us.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank the Lord for getting my daughter a job close to where she lives now. She lives now in my house, and she got a job right there in this little town that, we're close to. So praise God. I thank you for doing that for Michelle. And I thank you, Father, it's going to be a blessing to her. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? I thank you, Lord, for putting it on my daughter's heart to call me and check in with me like they have been ever since the action that happened. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us all closer together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
I keep forgetting to mention this. This has probably been maybe a month now. I don't know. Mo goes to this donut shop 4 days a week, and there's these two lights that are just past where, or right at, and the next one past, where there's been two bad accidents. A van school bus driver was killed because the a tractor trailer ran a light, and they said that he said that he didn't see it because it, his eyes were in the sun was in his eyes or something. And then there's another accident or whatever, with a tractor trailer going through another light, where I think it's the one that where Merle turns to go to the donut shop. Anyway, he was sitting there, And the light turned for him to go, and he said it was like he felt like not like he shouldn't go, or like I forget how he said it, like I it was like he felt like the Lord told him not to go or something like that. But anyway, here there was a tractor trailer that was coming that ran the light. So it's like, thank you, Lord, that he didn't go, whether you warned him or an angel, whatever it was, just to, because him maybe subconsciously knowing about these other accidents or whatever, but I just thank you, Lord, that he didn't go when the green turned, the light turned green. So praise the Lord. Lord's watching over him. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Is that something that happens all the time? These truck drivers run the red lights? Sounds like
Well,
it.
apparently in that area, for some reason, I don't know. It's like all of a sudden it's hearing about this, So.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for changing that. And thank you, Father, for opening people's eyes to see the light while they're driving. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. That's going to be the safest intersection from this point on. In
Yeah,
Jesus' name.
amen. There's two intersections in particular. Thank you,
Amen.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? All right, y'all want to hear a good song? Okay.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing. The circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Will change. pray that the fear inside would flee. In Jesus.
Amen. Uh-oh. I ought to play that one too, but I'm going to let you ride on that one. That was Judy Jacobson showed up there. Go ahead, Missy. That's a good song. Judy said earlier, that's quantum faith in action right there. Go ahead, Missy.
Exactly. And I was going to ask, is that a lead up to talking about quantum faith?
No, but we can. No, I would want to talk about a little about something else tonight, but we. Anyway, that actually is a very good song, because it tells us that we can change things with our prayers. We can change things with our prayers. Praise God. Now, the thing that I would like to talk about tonight is why the earth and the universe. Why did God make that? I see you, Missy. I'm just ignoring you. Go ahead. I'm kidding.
Well, for Jesus to be the seed of the word to come to be planted in this earth to grow and multiply to make many sons.
Is that the reason that he made the whole universe and the earth and everything about it?
To show his glory, his power.
All the above, but
Yeah.
why did he do it? Love of what? I don't understand sign language.
Because of his love for us, God so loved the world
Yeah,
that
could
he
it
would.
be that he wanted? That the Lord wanted a place for his people that he could visit and be with. Could it be that that's the only reason he made? Listen, if you have ever read anything about science and the world and the earth, everything works in the universe to keep the earth going. If you read Genesis, you can see that. He made the stars, he made the moon, he made the sun, all for one thing, to have a habitation for his people. He wanted people to talk to and to be a part of their life. He was lonely. He needed somebody to talk to. That's just a portion of it, just a very small portion of it. Yeah, Andrew. That
We
you hit
supposed to
it, Missy.
talk to
I'm
the
just.
Father?
I'm sorry. Go
Are
ahead,
we supposed
Andrew.
to talk to the Father? Are we
I'm
supposed to
sorry.
talk to the Father or Jesus? Are we supposed to talk to the Father or Jesus or
You
both?
answer it.
And what about the Holy Spirit? You know, like,
That's all part of the Godhead, isn't it?
yeah, but somehow we share the name with him. So, you know, it to partake of his name is a wonderful thing. It's a great privilege to have partaking in the name. Because, you know, rejoice that your names are written in the heavens, and the baptism into the name of the Father and the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and the name of the Holy Spirit. But do you have conversations?
Excuse me.
Bless you. Ooh,
He interrupted
that
you.
Yeah.
I'm glad it went that way.
I bet you are.
Yeah. Anyways, so I understand talking to the Father, and I could even understand talking to Jesus because we're adopted, and he's supposed to be our big brother, and he gives us all information on how to be in this family anyway. But I don't see how you talk to the Holy Spirit because he's coming out of the Father anyway. So doesn't he all? They all get it all at once, I think. So, but prayer, I believe, goes to the Father. Does it not?
Yes.
All the time?
Yep.
Because really, Jesus gave us a life, and the Father wants to help us live that life. But you know, like you were mentioning about the whole universe, like why so big and so vast? Because now we can see it with our electronic telescopes, Hubble and stuff, you know. And they pointed a telescope, some telescope in one direction once, and they saw thousands of galaxies, which is clusters of stars. And I go, wow, you know, why does God make flowers? The way he makes them all different and everything, you know, and all these colors that we have and to enjoy. And you know, you could just take some time thinking about his creation, you know. Like, what's with the whales? Look how big they are, you know, like, and all the other creations that were there. The creatures. Anyway, and he's actually in control of it all. Like he knows when a certain tree falls in the forest, I think it says somewhere. Wow. Some people think that it's a waste of time to talk to such a God in heaven. Because why would he want to spend time with us, you know? Even as David the psalmist said something similar to that, anyway.
Amen. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, and you'll understand a little more here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him, in love having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Man, we were marked out for sonship before the foundation of the world, glory to God. He made everything out there for us. And if you know anything about science, you know everything out there affects the earth. It's shining on the earth. Everything is working toward the earth to keep it going. God did that for us. He purposed us to be his family, didn't he? He wanted us to be his family, part of his family. Why? How was man created? In his image, wasn't he? Woo, we looking like Jesus already. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It says in Genesis 1 that man was created in God's own image after his own likeness. Or something happened between then and now, didn't it? Praise God, but we're going back. Praise God, we're going back. Anybody else? If you just sit and think on the things that the God has done for us, just for us, his people. He created the whole universe for that. And it's all for one thing, to keep the earth going. He put the moon up there for the nighttime. Put the stars up there so we could see the stars at night. Put the sun up there during the day. He put us exactly where we needed to be in the solar system in order for the sun to help affect this earth and to keep her going. Everything works together to keep his family. I'm just saying. That's kind of what I'm, the way I was looking at things today. And then David came up later and he got to talking about it too. And I hadn't said anything to him about it, what I had seen. And it was just a confirmation to me that God is so awesome. He is so awesome. He put everything in specifically the right place in the universe to affect the earth for his people. If it had been a minute degree off, we wouldn't be here. There's no other planet in the solar system that has people on it. This is the only one. I don't care what they say. Ain't no aliens, them demons. Y'all
No
can.
life but here. No life but on earth. There's no
This is
life.
it. That's right. We're the life. Praise God. Ain't no alien technology out there. That's all demon technology. David asked the Lord the other day, Lord, what about this alien garbage? Lord said, ain't no aliens. He didn't say ain't, but he said, there's no aliens. He's got a little bit better vocabulary than I do, but anyway. He said it like I could understand it, you know. Ain't no aliens out there, Michael. Don't worry about no aliens. There ain't gonna be none out there. That's all demon. Go ahead, Andrew.
And then in Joshua 10, he turned the sundial back, so he had
Yeah.
to control of it all. Yeah.
Quantum faith. Glory to God. Time and distance. Woo, my. God is so good. Think about it is, everything that we've seen in the Bible that he did can be done again. Can be done again. He's given us dominion. He's given us authority. The problem is, do we even think to even exercise that authority when it comes to our personal lives, you know? I suggest that we haven't even touched the surface of the things that we're fixing to see. Glory to God. I'm telling you something. We're looking at things now that I never dreamed would ever happen. We're seeing things. Well, it's just a lot of stuff going on. Praise God. Anybody else about this great and wonderful universe that the Lord has made for us? Y'all just stupefied. Is that what it is? Go ahead, Julie.
You've had a chance to think about this since you're reading and meditating, and you're just throwing it on us. So,
I am.
give us a break.
All right, I will.
thank you. Thank you, Mike. I guess, he did everything in with the idea of us in mind, and he did it in love. And, before the sin came and the curse came, it was perfect. It was beautiful. And even you think back maybe in 100 years ago, we didn't have the pollution we have now, and just how much more perfect and beautiful the earth and creation was, and how full of much more full it was before man got involved and just perverting it and corrupting it and that kind of thing. And I remember growing up, where I did on the farm, and it's like it was peaceful, it was quiet, it was green, it was, it was a simpler life. But I remember laying on the grass and, amongst the dandelions and that kind of stuff, and out there in
Clover.
the springtime,
Yeah.
and there, the ants and all that stuff, and bugs and all those things.
I
But
got that.
and laying up and laying there and looking up at the blue, clear blue skies and real clouds, and watching formations in the clouds and seeing things in them, and it was just it was beautiful. I'm grateful for what I had and what I grew up. And being able to see all the stars, I can't see them where I live now at night. But then, being out there on the farm and stuff, we didn't have all the city lights to distract the heavenlies, the light up there. And yeah, the magnitude, I miss seeing that, but the magnitude of all the stars and lightning storms and all that kind of stuff, and things that, it's all God's creation and all has a purpose. And why the lightning, why the thunder, why, the storms, and how, and the humidity and the seasons, and it has its perfect order. All of it has its perfect order, day after day, season after season, year after year. But, it's like we're coming to the end, of this age, the end of this age, and the end of all things that there is. And God had a purpose in all of it. He created it for us. Yeah, he knew. He even created man, and he knew man was going to sin and mess it all up, and what he was going to do and what would have to happen. And yet he knew all that before he created man, and he did it anyway, because he had it all planned out, in his majestic, infinite wisdom and thoughtfulness. And he reads Psalm 139, where it talks about how thoughtful all the multitudes of his thoughts towards us are, in every day of our lives and every circumstance that we would be in, and what would draw us to him, where and why and how we would be saved and repent and all those things, and what we had to go through and all these thoughts. When you think about where you come from and what God's done with you, that's all his love. And he created it all for us. And it was all to make him magnified, about who he is in our, it should anyhow. How big he is and how powerful he is, and who's like God. I think it's Isaiah 40 says that there's a lot of neat stuff in there in Isaiah 40 about that too. I think that's where it talks about the stars and the moon, and that's one place that's in there too. Anyhow, it's just he's always thinking about us. He's been thinking about us since before he created the earth. Amen.
Amen. Well, just think about this. Darwin came along and he said, oh, we evolved from a slime ball and all of that, but there's no proof, no proof whatsoever. The Lord said, does everything procreates after its own kind? That means there's no crossing over. It ain't done. It ain't going to happen. And that's exactly what's happened. We are made in the image of God. Yeah, Missy. Where'd she go? Oh, there she is.
I could get the to unmute. You know how they say that like they'll drill down in ice and whatever and the earth and so on and so forth and say, you know, well, this is millions of years old and da da da. And we know the earth is not a million years old. But my thought on that is that it's only because God doesn't dwell in time, and before sin, the fall of man, there was no time. So it's like, I don't know how it exactly works, but whatever. But my thought is they get those millions of years because God doesn't dwell in time, and when time came into place because of the fall of man, then that's how the millions of years come about. I don't know how to explain it, but
Well, what
there's
you have to go back to is how do they determine that? And they go by the, what's the name of that thing that they use? Oh gosh. Anybody know how they determine the ancient age of things?
carbon dating.
Carbon dating, which is a
Dating.
fallacy in itself. Where does it start? How do you know? You know, that kind of thing. So
Yeah.
it's all a fallacy. It's
Yeah,
all
that's
just a stupid
true.
fallacy.
Yeah.
The Lord can make anything look like it's old anyway. He can make a mountain look like it's old. He can make a tree look like it's old. He can make me look like I'm old, although I'm not. Go ahead. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Well, he made Adam and Eve older. So he created the stars that are light years away. And nobody can actually say that there's a star, a physical star there, because the only thing that we are seeing is the light. And God could have very well created 7,000 years worth of light and stretch it out there as far as necessary in order to give us the image that there's a star there. Anyway, I don't know how we got on to that subject. We deviated from the original subject. I think you mentioned, okay, why did God create all of this? And I asked him that question. Little over 20 years ago. And he took me through a process of developing the thought. I actually had a friend of mine that went, and I don't know why I thought of this at the time, a friend of mine who was a nurse, and she was hired by, she was working in a nursing, she was a management or something of a nursing facility, nursing home. It was kind of a high-end type of nursing home, and there was a gentleman in there that was, you know, in his 80s, and he hired her to. He had to go to a family reunion in Nantucket or whatever the, you know, the rich part of that country up there. I'm not even sure where it is, Martha's Vineyard or where all that sort of stuff. Well, he was a very, very wealthy individual, and so he hired her. And flew them up, and she was there
taking care of him or whatever. And she told me that when she was up there, Mick Jagger, and I'm getting to the story, the reason for why the Lord brought this out in my mind. I think it was Mick Jagger pulled into Martha's Vineyard, or where, well, I'm just going to say that's where it was at, with a, I don't know, 150 foot yacht with a helicopter pad on the back, and there were cars on it, and there were and all kinds of toys, for, and all kinds of stuff, and evidently he was sailing around the world at that time or whatever. And the thought came to me that he's in a bit of a precarious position, in that he is so, and I'm talking in general terms, but it was illustrated in this thing about hearing about Mick Jagger there or whatever. He is so wealthy and has absolutely nothing that he couldn't buy to entertain himself, or to do or go or do anything he wanted to do, or and go anywhere he wanted to go anywhere in the world, because basically everybody in the civilized world knows who he is or whatever. And it dawned on me at that time that there is nothing left. He's almost at a place where there's nothing left in life that he can do or enjoy or challenge himself to have or acquire or pursue. There's nothing that is beyond his grasp. And it just seemed like the Lord was showing me that being in that place is, you're almost in a place of hopelessness, because there's nothing more. There's nothing more for you to do or to experience. There's no more challenges. There's no, and this was kind of the framework or the foundation for answering my question. And I think I was, at that time, I was studying God's love for us, and meditating on just how miraculous and great that is. And it dawned on me that God is, was, let's just say, in the context of our lives, our world, our this universe, etc., God is kind of like that, where there is nothing that he can't do, nothing he couldn't create, nothing he could create an army of people. He could create all kinds of different realities. He could create anything he wanted to, in order to keep himself challenged or entertained or whatever. But one thing, that in that creation that he did not have, was he didn't have mankind. He did not have mankind who was created in his own image. And what I mean, what the point being that it came to me was, and I'm going to say, I'm just going to put it out as free will. He didn't have, he created us so that we had, could have the freedom to choose to be with him or to, and in that context, the flip side of that is if you want to have a person that willingly, without external coercion, will willingly choose to be with you, you have to give them the ability to choose not to be with you. And his love for us, because he wanted his being is that he desires and enjoys giving himself in a relationship. He wants to give, and he created us. And I know there's, things contrary to this, and thinking and theologies and this and that, but I'm going to bypass all of that just to say he wanted to create people, mankind, that could willingly choose him or reject him. And those that willingly, excuse me, choose to be with him will ultimately grow up to be sons and take on the father's business. I'm just, I'll just put it at that. But it was, he just kind of showed me the purpose, I guess, for mankind. Which, requires us, to, well, I'll let it go at that. That's kind of the foundation of what he showed me. So.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And he made us with the same intellect that he has, the same. That's why he made us. Listen, when he made Adam, his intellect was so expounded that he named every bug, every bird, every animal in existence. And I forget how many different species there are, like the half a million or something like that. And he named them with names that applied to their character. That's pretty awesome. And he's given us the same intellect. And like you said, Pat, we have the option of meeting with him or not every day. We have that option. We've been infused with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that gives you the knowledge that you need to talk to the Lord, gives you the power to talk to the Lord God Almighty. Think about that just a second. Oh my. He gave him dominion over everything, didn't he? He gave us dominion over everything that's out there. If a bear walked up to you today, while you was out walking. You could take dominion over. No, I ain't gonna re I'll rebuke you. Get on out of here, bear. You can do that. Well, he's given us that authority. The biggest thing he's given us is the ability to talk to him and to listen and to hear him. Where you got other people that walk, talk, speak, hear, touch in the flesh only. But we have what the Bible calls a spiritual aspect that they don't have, which is more powerful than the flesh. More powerful, by far more powerful. And it's not the power, it's the love that comes from it. I get excited when I start thinking about what God has given each and every one of us. My goodness. He gave us dominion over all the works of his hands, is what he said. All the works of his hands. Well, everything you see is made by God. That car that ran that stoplight, or that stops that stoplight, you can back up and say, "Nope, I ain't gonna receive that." Just like that song said, what we just listened to. I speak the name of Jesus over this situation. Yeah. Praise God. Go ahead, Debbie. I'm sorry. I just get excited. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Just on that note of a couple things you said about so we want about spending more time with him and speaking with him and being with him. So I wanted to say something about last the vision about the shadow, and a couple people said I'm not sure what they meant, what that meant, and I didn't really either. But Angelica was telling me, she said the Lord let her know that it was just saying, it was really pretty plain, but that we, it could be a warning, a correction, however one person wants to take it, keeping him in the, about keeping him in the shadows. He's overshadowed. He doesn't want us to overshadow him with our other things that come first, and we just should not keep him in the shadows. And that's what that represented. So I just wanted to mention that. And I also wanted to mention, what I shared yesterday morning, because that evening I asked for a word about that from the Lord, a random word, and I shared it in the morning meeting. But it's so good, I wanted to share it here. I was thinking of just putting the stuff on Signal. I thought, no, I'll just get on tonight and see. Oh dear. Isaiah. Let me see. This is strange. I'm sure it was Isaiah 20, 25, 1. Yeah, I'm sorry, it's think it's Mark. I didn't have this one prepared. Okay.
Are you looking for something?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm still looking for that word. Okay, it's Matthew 25:1. Yeah, but that was saying I was gonna share this word the Lord gave me that I asked for with it, and it was just so right on. I landed on the word meet, MEET, in Matthew 25:1. So then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. I thought, oh, that's good. We all want to believe that we're in the bride. He's our bridegroom, so we don't want to, risk that by keeping him in the shadows. We want to be ready to meet him. So I thought that was kind of a good scripture that he gave me. Just wanted to share those things.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We got to have that oil too, don't we, Debbie?
Yes. I meant to mention that. We have
Amen.
to have our lamps filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. He also told us that he made us a little bit lower than God,
Yeah.
crowned him with glory and honor. Woo, come on now.
Yeah, yes, thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. And all he wants us to do is just talk to him and have a personal relationship with him every day. Every day.
I just want to say that that really shook me up. It really did. It's changed me in one day. I mean, I don't want any desire for putting things before him that are unnecessary. Like I was doing a lot of unnecessary things on the phone. Not bad things, but unnecessary. Not spiritually beneficial, but not bad. Or maybe just too much time at him. And it's like I would stop a little bit and go right back at it again. And it's like, gosh, I don't know. I thought, what is it I need to be consistent with, having this that time with the Lord that He wants me to have, and I really want to have. And I don't know. I did that just it just really did something for me. And so I've had a wonderful day today with the Lord, and I want to share with everybody how see, I had prayer a few, couple 3 weeks ago. I asked them to come over here and from the book study at Brandy's house to come here and just get rid of demons in my place, my trailer here, because it's been such a mentally and emotionally tormenting time since Denny's been gone. And I had to always go, had to leave, just get out. I'd go somewhere. I would even buy things at a store and say, okay, I'll just buy, I won't get this thing, so I can go out tomorrow to get this. So I have something to go for, things like that. And so, and I shared first at the book study before they come over here, because I'm right next door to Brandy, that about this, about the what I was experiencing. So they came over, and it's really, it's been great. And Michael said that he saw, what'd you say you saw, leave Michael, you saw a long snake or something out go out the door.
Yeah.
And
A
at first I was,
serpent.
pardon?
I said a serpent, I think.
Serpent, yes. So I had my back bedroom doors, front and back bedroom shut. I thought, oh, never mind those. Then I felt like, no, I have to. So I just said, and go to that room and go to that room. And so they just did that. They just prayed and cast these things out of here. And it's just so wonderful. I feel so free. And I don't mind being in here anymore. And my thoughts are different. And so on top of that, God gives this, and maybe it was just really mainly for me, I don't know, but it's like he can't keep telling us or can't keep telling me or he's gonna stop. And I don't want him to, I don't want to have to be keep telling me. And if I am staying in the wrong, I want him to leave me there either. So I just really want to take him seriously and enjoy time with him. And I think I have to have other things that I have to enjoy in time of loneliness or time of wanting something to do. And but and even the loneliness, I feel that's gone too, because I'm not alone, one thing. So it's just been really good. It's been really good. So ever since that day,
Amen.
that was like 3 weeks ago, I think, maybe 2 weeks ago. Yeah, amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. What if you think about it this way, that God made us a little lower than himself so that we could talk intelligently with him. And down through the ages, you see that dominion that he's given. Look at Moses. How many people you know have parted the waters like he did? I know he had to be told to do it, but that's okay. He did it. Then he told what happened. It was Elijah, I believe it was, called fire down from heaven. Woo. That's God has brought us into the world to be a friend of his. A close friend of his. That's just my take on it. I know he wants us all to be his friend. It's a good friend.
Amen.
And that's what Debbie was.
Yes, amen.
Debbie, you're still on muted. There you go. And but I just get to thinking about that, and I said, "Oh my gracious, he's made us like himself so that we could understand him when he talks to us." You got people out there right now that are translating, trying to translate the Bible in the flesh. And you know what happens? We get all of these crazy transliterations of it that aren't anywhere near what the Word of God is talking about. And the only way that you can interpret the Word of God is spiritually speaking and to understand and listen to God. Anybody else? This is a deep subject, very deep. And why? You can even stop time. Go ahead, Pat. I saw you.
Well, sorry. Finish what you were saying. I can plug in afterwards.
Well, the only thing I was going to say is that the things that God has shown us through the Bible itself, the things that He has given man to do, when it comes time to do it, like Joshua, they stopped the sun, for goodness sake, and the universe. The whole universe he stopped just to win one battle. That's how much God loves us. Whew, oh, to God.
I was on that same vein of creating sons, and obviously, when I say sons, I'm talking about maturity, not specifically gender. There's principles that we can, kind of go by with just maturity, where what am I trying to say? That when you grow up and the Father, his will, which I think can only be acquired through, reading, praying, and being aware of His Word, working it out in, your life, allowing Him to work it out in your life. And but you, I believe he wants us to come into a place of comfortability. I don't even know if that's a word or not, with functioning according to his will, knowing his will as opposed to waiting for him to give you a particular command or a direction or whatever, I guess you might say. In other words, seeing a situation or a condition and saying, "Oh, well, this is what needs to happen because I know my father's will, and this is what he would do." That it kind of that kind of situation. And I think that we kind of have to be forced into that because it's so much easier just to wait, sit and wait, and wait till you're given direction to do something and then go do it. But when you are looking out at life, so to speak, and you encounter certain things. It's, and I'm saying this in an explanation more than an experientially, because as I say, it's a bit uncomfortable to, I think, to f kind of function that way. Or maybe we're just not used to it or whatever, but being able to encounter something, see something, and just lay your hands on it, do it, and in the name of Jesus, in confidence that this is God's will, and just do it as opposed to waiting for that that voice out of heaven saying, "Pat, we need you to go across over to such and such street and talk to somebody about," those are exciting things that happen. But on the other hand, it's I think it's good to be able to function in accordance to his name and the gifts that he's given us to function and trust that he backs us up. Again, that for me, that's an uncomfortable position or place to walk in. Again, it's a whole lot more easier just to kind of wait and wait for that shining light out of heaven to say, "Pat, I need you to move," instead of just go ahead and do it and trust him that he's backing you up. So anyway, how'd I get on that subject? Hey, that's way away from what we were talking about. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. Well, just think of this. When he made Adam with divine health. He walked in everything that God did. He didn't have any problem until he sinned. And that's what we had to deal with during all this time until Jesus came. But when Jesus came, he took all of that away from us. And we can walk in divine health. We can walk in divine walk that he wants, the spiritual walk that he wants us to walk in. It's up to us to put down the distractions, put down everything other than the Lord. And I say that because I'm been distracted, myself many times. But I'm starting to realize, hey, you're talking about the Lord God Almighty here. Not just some deity on a desk over there somewhere. This is Lord God Almighty we're talking about. Praise God. Anybody else? When Adam, he had dominion over everything, didn't he? Before he sinned. He had just like God. No, nothing else was greater than Adam other than God himself. That's where he wants us to be. What did Adam do? He walked with the Lord in the cool of the morning. And they'd sit and talk. And they'd talk as he walked. We belong with God. That's just why I love to talk about who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ is awesome. All we have to do is walk in it and trust God that he's going to back up what he says he would do. What did Jesus tell us? He said, "The things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do because I go to my Father." He's sitting up there, "Come on, Michael. I know you're going to do it, boy. You get on out there. I'll be with you." Or anybody else, he'll do the same thing for you. Every time. Yeah, Pat.
I was just thinking of, greater things will we do because he goes to the Father. And I was literally just reading this, but the question is, so why is that? Why will greater things be being done in us than what he did then? And I guess the thought came to me was, because, and I'm probably ought to read this. Because he went to the Father so that he could return to us in his word, and we believing that word of the gospel comes into our heart, and Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, comes in, and now it is not Jesus with us as it was with the disciples, but now it is Jesus in us. And so it is that same Jesus who was one person, died on the cross, buried, and raised again. And newness of life is the same Jesus that lives within our hearts, within each and every one of us. And so now, and I was just thinking of those verses in John 14, 6, one of my favorite verses. Was Jesus said to, he was talking to Thomas or something. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man, no one cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you would have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip said, show us the way. Paraphrasing here, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and dost thou not know me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And Jesus was a demonstration of that revelation and that reality of God living in him, and vice versa. The words that I say to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father abiding in me doeth his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. And that last portion there hit me and has been very strong in my thinking and meditation, in that it is the very life of Jesus within us that is only manifested through his works as they are performed, gone out through us, through the body. And he said, truly I say to you that he that believes on me, the works that I shall do also, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, that will I do. And then this is the portion. It said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever. And that if you study the words, define the words in there, another comforter, that another me, comforter means one called alongside to help, to assist. And the another who says, I'll give you another comforter, is a separate, it means a separate, another one like like Jesus is basically what it is. Anyway, I wasn't going to say anything about that, but even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth him, ye know him, for he abideth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you desolate. I come unto you. Yet a little while in the world beholds me no more, but ye behold me because I live, ye shall also live. And then it says something, says, which is the point, he said, in that day ye shall know. In that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. So, what day was he talking about? This day here in the future that we're in? Now, I think what he meant by in that day was the day that we receive another comforter. We receive that comforter like Jesus, the same as the one as like Jesus. I'm not going to get into that. But so in that day, when the Holy Spirit is received, that is when ye well know, ye shall know that I am in the Father, ye in me, and I in you. And then he said, in verse 23, so Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And to me, that is a miraculous presence of God in your life that I don't know if this is a, what am I trying to say? An expansion, expanding upon the Holy Spirit that was received, or the power that was received in Acts at Pentecost, or if it is connected with the example of when Jesus came back, had resurrected, came back, spoke to the disciples in John 20, I believe, and breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So I kind of think that it was the expression or the receiving of the power of Pentecost in the when he, in Pentecost or Acts 1:8, he said, "Ye shall receive power." And I think these verses are talking about that. And I'm just kind of spitballing here like Andrew does, but it, to me, it seems, does it seem to you like there is a receiving of the Spirit twice? Not meaning receiving of the Holy Spirit twice, but the in John 20, the example of John 20 was the receiving of the Holy Spirit, which couldn't be given until Jesus had raised from the dead. And the power of the Holy Spirit came afterwards. It's almost the same type as what happened in Jesus, born filled with the Holy Spirit, born of the Spirit. But it was, and even when he went to John, when and he was the anointed one, born, positioned as the Christ, and was raised, to maturity, 30 years old, where he went to John the Baptist. And that's when the dove, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to say he received the Holy Spirit at that time in some, whether it was in type for our benefit. And then the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days. And he came back not with, he came back, as it says, he came back in the power of the Spirit. So he received the Spirit. And then after the temptation, he received the power that comes with the Holy Spirit. So I don't know if that's if that these verses that that I've just mentioned in John, it connects with this in John 14 here about the Comforter, after the Comforter comes, and in that day we will know. And the obedience that comes through that, or the freedom of obedience that comes through that, which brings forth the manifestation or the reality of God, of Jesus and God the Father living within us, as he says there in 28. Is that what it was? 28? I don't remember now. Anyway, I'm just throwing some stuff out there, and that was it. I'll shut up now.
Amen. Go ahead, Ben. I saw your hand up.
Well, it was just kind of what Pat was saying, how like he would, well, you're not receiving the Holy Spirit twice. You're not getting baptized twice by the Holy Spirit, or whatever Pat was saying. But like, I think people, before they receive that full baptism, and don't quote me on this, but before they receive that full baptism, I believe people can receive experiences of the Holy Spirit moving through them, whether it be a dream, a measure of faith, or a discernment. I do believe it's a person that has received the calling, and they have, not a full baptism experience of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus gave authority to his disciples before the Holy Spirit was given. I thought Pat was going to try and go somewhere different with it, but he kind of went a different route as to what I thought he was going to ask. But all I know is that when you receive the Holy Spirit, you shall receive power. That's what it says in the book of Acts. Yeah, it was kind of going a different route. And that's why I wasn't really sure what I was going to bring up, really. Added on to what Pat was going to say.
Amen. Holy Spirit, the wisdom, the power, all of those attributes. Let me ask a question. Is there a time limit? It talks about it, and I believe it's in Mark, Gentiles. Time limit when it's up. Yeah, Gina.
It's in Romans chapter 11.
Yeah. So, when is that? When is that time limit up that he takes it, that the Gentiles? Time limit is up, Wes.
Mid-trib.
Mm-hmm.
After the first 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Before the mark of the beast, I think, before the mark of the beast.
Then he opens up the way for the Hebrew, the Jewish people, right?
Yeah. He's going to turn back to them. There's a time limit even, you know, for the, you know, those being chosen for the bride.
Yep.
You know, we've had lots of warnings over the years about that. But the door's closing for that. And God's been really patient, long suffering, but he's also, you know, growing us and maturing us and cleansing us and cleansing the body. So, and teaching us stuff. So it's not been wasted, but yeah, you know, there's just some end time. And just like the word that Debbie got the other morning too is you know, about the seriousness of that. And I think, didn't he use the word crucial, Debbie, or was that your word?
It was his word. He was crucial.
That's a severe word.
Yeah. You know,
it's crucial. It's like, what's more important? You know, what does the world have? What does, you know, entertaining our flesh have in any way, shape, or form have to compare to what's going to be with, you know, the lover of our soul, the man, you know, the God, our Redeemer, our King, our Savior, our, you know, our first love. You know, is he still our first love? You know, are we getting distracted even from that? And if he was here, would I be thinking and doing the things I do sometimes if I practice the presence of God, that he's actually here? You know, I have that mindset, I guess. Jesus, you're actually here. Why would I be doing this? Or why would I be wanting to do something else? Or, you know, why wouldn't I want to talk to you or listen to you or whatever? So this is something I, you know, I'd need to work on. And but that is crucial. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your grace, because we all need it. I thank you for that.
Amen. You know, talking about that, Julie, I heard a guy the other day say this. He said, treat everyone as if they were Jesus. And I said, oh, my goodness, man, have I missed that one. I know y'all hadn't, but I know I have. Yeah, uh-huh. But it really struck me. I said, well, yeah. We got to treat everybody like they were Jesus. And I know that we forget about it, but then you ask the Lord to keep it in my mind to treat everybody like Jesus, you know? Yeah, Teresa.
Just before you said that, I was reading in Matthew the judgment, and also there's the talents before that, what'd you do with your talents? But in the judgment in Matthew 25, 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you and hungered and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when saw we you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king shall answer and say to them, Verily I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, you just got done saying, treat everybody as if they were Jesus. Inasmuch as ye have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you and hungered or athirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So, that just backs up what you just said.
Amen. Amen. How many times have we passed up these people with signs? And you did have some money that you could have given them. I'm speaking to myself. I've done it many times. Not think anything about it. Okay, anyone else? How many of you would love to have an unlimited supply of money so that you could help everybody that you saw that needed help? Well, guess what? You do. All you got to do is start sowing, and you'll start reaping. Amen. I'm talking to Michael too. Right? What a God. Yeah, if we treat everybody like they were Jesus, it'd be awesome, wouldn't it? It'd be nothing but love in the world. Yeah, Julie.
I don't know where the scripture reference is, but I think it goes something like we're supposed to treat others or think of others more highly than we do ourselves. That we put others first and think of others and treat them more highly. We're supposed to know no man after the flesh either. We are supposed to see Christ in the mirror, and we're supposed to see Christ in everybody else because we are the body of Christ. We are the body. He's in each and every one of us. And we don't know who the elect are out there, who God's chosen ones, whose children are out there, but but God sees our thoughts and how we treat people and how we think towards them. And yeah, thank you, Lord. The world's not easy to maneuver through, and all the persecutions and stuff. I was reading about that, today, about being persecution of the church and stuff, and And even that's supposed to bring us into maturity. So it all has a point. It all has a purpose. And thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, give us your heart. Give each and every one of us your heart. That heart of love that is so big. Thank you, Father, for doing that and place it in our minds to always keep our mouths shut when we don't need to say anything. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, let our mouth be as an oracle of you, too. Let our speech be that away. Thank you, Father. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
Just with Tevye's word, going back to that too, is when you started concerned about that, Debbie, and how you said that you were going to work, you were doing, what you're called to do. So it wasn't like you were, doing something that you shouldn't have been doing, like, some wasting your time. You're going to work, but the Lord said, stop, come spend time with me, and you had to drop what you were doing and knew that was the Lord. So even that, is a matter of we need to put him first even before we start doing our job, such as it is, and whatever that may be, is Lord, guide me, lead me. How am I supposed to spend my time with you today? And where do I go? And just start praising him and thanking him for today, or whatever it is that you're led. But I just thought that was interesting too, that he interrupted your work to get your attention.
Yes, amen.
I remember when Linda Smith had that experience with the Lord when they dumped all that work on her at the work that she was working at. Nobody had ever completed the job that they gave her. And these were men. And this is just a elderly lady. And she said, no way I can do that. She went in the bathroom and she said, Lord, you're just going to have to help me. And she went back out there. She sat down and she started working, doing the best she could, which was real slow. And then all of a sudden, she seemed like she went back out of her body and she was watching herself. And she was just doing this, I mean, just getting all this stuff done. Her hands were just going everywhere. And the things were, and she was done where people couldn't go all day long and get the job finished. She had it done by lunch. The manager got mad at her because he didn't have nothing else for her to do. He gave her that job so she'd be working all day, and he finished it. She finished it before the time was up, oh, by hours. And that's where God comes in. That's what he can do for us. He can do for us anything. Time did, and she just sat back and watched herself work. Wasn't breaking a sweat. Glory to God. Oh, my. That's God. That is so much God. So when you get in a rush and you think you're behind time, Lord, help me out here. I need some help to get this job done and get it done in a way that's going to be satisfying to everybody. Woo! Glory to God. Watch God go to work. Hear what I'm saying, Missy? When you get to get them clippers to going, man, you can get some job done quick. I'm telling you. Go ahead, Andrew.
So, in effect, she just asked and she received.
Yes.
And, I have this Bible verse that I try to ask the Lord for some Bible verses sometimes. And he gave me one in 2 Timothy 2:9. The word of God is not bound. It's the tail end of that verse. And she just asked and she received. And the word of God is not bound. I mean, we can bind and loose things by the word of God, but the word of God's not bound. And just apply that one to bind and loose. The word of God is not bad. So, wow. Yeah, 2 Timothy 2 and 9. Be, you know, the tail end. Yeah, my today's word was, that was yesterday's word, but today's word for me was in 2 Corinthians 13 and 8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Now, we have to believe that, and the word of God is not bound. So I'm putting both together now. And I'm just kind of thinking on these two words here. And, you know, we all know what it says in Luke 1:37. For no word of God is void of power. And the Holy Spirit gives you power to be that witness. And back then it was for Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. So, wow, the power. I guess that's why the word of God is never bound, because that's the power. Anyway, trying to collate some of these verses are real exciting. Exciting, and
yeah.
You said, I don't know, if we're not supposed to question God's word because it's not bound. I'm just really going about this bound word. It can't be bound. You can't tie up God. You know, he's gonna come and do it. You know, I know it's a simple verse, ask and ye shall receive. And it's, even that one's not bound. It's limitless now. If this 2 and 9, if you can find the positive words to collate with that, if God puts them in you and does the grace through you to do it, then wow. So praise God. Glory to God. I have to think about this a bit more, but you know, sometimes, you know, you can really overthink things. And we don't want to take credit for God's word, because then we'll go astray that way, because we can't take credit for something that's not our word. But he gives us the word because he loves us.
Thank you, Lord. You know, I read about one time, I believe it was, oh gosh, I can't think of the guy's name. But anyway, he ran across a guy up in Tibet, up in the mountains of Tibet, in a cave. And the guy told him that he was 300 years old. And he said, well, why would God allow you to live 300 years up to now? He said, well, my job is to intercede for the world. To intercede for the world. And that was his job. He just sat there and prayed, and the Lord would feed him and clothe him and do all the things that were necessary. But he lived in a cave, and people knew him, you know. But he'd been living there for 300 years, he said. So I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. Why would he do that? Because nobody else was interceding in the world, for the world. I guess, I don't know. But anybody ever hear that? Yeah, I've heard of that. Was that, that was one of the guys, Who was it, Missy?
Wasn't it Sandhu Sundar something or whatever?
Saju Sundar
Yeah.
Singh. Saju Sundar Singh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who it was. Yeah, ran across this guy. He told him about, he told, sat down and talked with him for a while. Just a regular guy, but he was praying for the world. He was doing what God told him to do for 300 years. How many of us would have that kind of resolve to do that? Yeah, Julie.
I think we all would if God gave us the grace to do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're
I
right.
mean, I don't think he could have done it without the grace of God, as you know, he didn't have the distractions then either, the same
He
distractions
didn't.
like we have, and yeah, different
No, he
time.
didn't have an HP laptop in there with him.
Yeah, I just think if God gives us the grace to do it, puts the will in us to do it, and the want to in us, and the desire, and the, you know, change me, Lord. Keep changing me and making me, you know, to be who I'm supposed to be, and to overcome. And we're all overcomers by the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
You know, trust in him.
Since we're talking about God and why he created man and why he created the earth and the universe for man, how many of you know what God has you here for? Just one at a time now. Okay, yeah, Julie, go ahead.
No, we're here to be as wit we're witnesses it, you know. We're here to be as witness. Let me find the scriptures here. Find what I'm talking about.
Let me break it down a little bit closer. Specifically for yourself.
For myself, I'm here to serve the Lord, and, to be a light, to be a light, to be a witness. You know, we're supposed to be, we're living epistles. Yeah, we're the, you know, we're the Word made flesh. We're supposed to be a demonstration of what real Christianity is, as opposed to be, you know, we're different from the world. I was just thinking how Isaiah 43 is one of my favorite chapters in Isaiah, but he talks about verse 9, let all the nations be gathered together and let the peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have showed that there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, I am God. You know, just goes on about who he is and how mighty he is, and he makes a way for us, and yeah, the people which I form for myself, that they might set forth my praise. And anyhow, we're supposed to be different, you know, we're supposed to be different from the rest of the world. Once, you know, we have the truth, we have the gospel, and you know, we're supposed to serve and serve him in whatever capacity that is that the Lord puts in your heart, and where he leads you, and the gifts, and you know, evangelism to the degree you can evangelize. But pray and intercede. We're called the high priest. I'm sorry, we're called the priest. He's high priest. And pray and make an intercession for people. And that's all our jobs, and to do spiritual work there. And anyhow, he created us. We're his witnesses. We have the witness, we have the testimony of prophecy, the spirit of prophecy in us. We have Christ in us. We have the word in us. It's just where we can share, where we can help, where we can pray, where we can intercede. If we see something, to take it to the Lord about it, and just and ask God's leading. Your role is different than mine, all of you. Your ministry is right there in your family, in your neighborhood, your come, whoever you fellowship with, associate with. I don't know if there's a one
Yeah.
answer for that, Michael.
Well, it could be, but you're right. That's all of our jobs. Yeah, Barbara.
In a nutshell, we're put down here to become sons, to be like Christ, because God said he's bringing many sons to glory. And in a nutshell, I mean, we're put here to become sons of God. That's
Amen.
my take.
Yeah, that's a general answer, but that's a good answer.
Yeah, that's my general answer.
Okay, well, that's fine. Yeah, Teresa. I'll get you next, Andrew.
Well, I did have a dream when I was younger, and I think it has not, it still is in the works. It hasn't come to pass yet. And in the dream, I was buried, and I was, and I don't remember the dream exactly. But in the dream, I was married. The husband I was married to, was a I don't know, evangelist, or he preached the gospel, and so I was building this cedar house, and in the dream, it enclosed the body of Christ, and I wanted to make it bigger to enclose the world, but God said no, just the body of Christ. And so as I was building this house, so in other words, I was interceding for the body of Christ and for my husband, to do his ministry. And then and so as I interceded for the body of Christ, it enabled them to it uplifted them into the Holy Spirit, like an eagle. They were like an eagle uplifted in the Holy Spirit, which means they were overcoming the things of the world. So somehow, through, I don't know if it was through the music I was playing, that the body, see, because when I play music, it's the word of God. And when you put a melody to the word of God, it gets it in your heart. You remember it easier, and you get it in your heart. And when you stand on that word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Well, that lifts you above the circumstances. That overcomes the circumstances. And so, maybe it's both, but I haven't put out any music. I have songs, but I haven't put them out. And I actually need, a better way to put it out. So anyway, there's that.
Amen.
So
Well, it'll
it has
come.
not, I haven't had a husband that wants to stay married to me, Michael. So I haven't met him yet. So
Well, let the Lord change you.
no, there isn't one. There isn't, there's none right
There's
now.
none what?
I don't have a husband right now.
Oh, I know, but you may have one in the works.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, if you start confessing it, it'll start happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying. All right, Andrew, did you have something? Thank you, Teresa.
You know, I'm just looking at this Adam and Eve thing. You know, Adam was really close to Eve when he was created. Eve was inside of him. And I was just like the last Adam. We're all trying to get into this body of Jesus. And you know, I just look at what it says in Corinthians there when it talks about the eye and the ear and the smelling and the bottom of the feet. You know, he's under our feet. We sing that song the kids like on Fridays, you know, the enemy conquering the enemy song there for and they all the kids like that one because they're always standing up and jumping up and down. And you know, you know, he kind of took the woman out of there, out of Adam, and with this last Adam, we can all get back in to Jesus, so that we can have this fresh, new, clean spirit, and it communes with our spirit to make us clean in our spirit, and also makes us bear fruit in our soul. Kind of shines right through into the next room called the soul, and we bear the fruit there, and it has to shine in there because according to the sanctuary, there's supposed to be a nice light in there anyway, and we got the sanctuary within us now, so and the presence of God there too, so that's why we're a temple of the Lord. I guess more a tabernacle because we move around a lot. And there's bread in there, and we always want more bread, you know, and more light. So I was just thinking, you know, that we're all trying to get back into that one original person, the way Adam had Eve in him. And I'm just trying to remember something Odin Hedrick said when he mentioned this, you know. He called something about love and about dividing two pieces of fruit or something. I wish I could remember what he said anyway. It's just interesting that the last Adam joins us back in. You know, he made Eve, they both fell. Of course, Adam had to fall because Eve fell, and it was part of Adam. So that's why Adam fell, because the woman, and some people have trouble me saying just that word, but the woman came out of the man, and now we got to get back into Jesus, the one body, you know. And some people really see really well. Some people hear really well. Some people have good discernment with their stuff. You know, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good too, you know, so you can combine them. And there's a savor to it, not a savior, but a savor, you know, to tasting the Lord. You know it's the Lord. You feel it's the Lord when it comes to you. And you can sense it too, you know. Like when you say something smells funny, it really does, you know. And there's no odor in the air. I'm not talking about any kind of odor or anything. So the feelings are there, you know. The emotions are in your feelings, and that's part of the name, you know, the mind, the will, the emotions, the heart, and that's the name you share with God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we share in that name, and it's a very wonderful privilege. It's your new life, this name. Right? you know, and yeah, he puts his word above his name because you know why? That's how you were made. Because his word is not bound. That's how you were created in Christ Jesus. And we grow up too. Now, I don't know if we're going to get a big growth spurt. You know, I'm over 6'4", and I remember going through that. You get pains in your calves. And it's pain to grow, you know. And there's limitless ideas and parallels here that you can have even with a regular growth of the body. So you get pains, growing pains. And I used to get them in my calves all the time. I didn't know what it was until finally someone said to me, grab your foot and pull it toward your knee and the pain will go away. And it worked the first time when I was a teenager and I went, what? I should have thought of, you know, and they're pounding go away. And it's just worse. Anyway, praise and glory to God for him growing us up, for us to come into to a more mature position, to be what he wants us to be, to follow him always. In Jesus' name I pray. And thank you, Lord. You know what I need more than I know myself. He already knows what you need. Even before you ask him. There's even a little girl that had asked for a bag of potato chips. And it was already at the door. And it showed up there. And that's just a little girl. And that's one of the David's stories there when he was a younger guy there. And, you know, I just think of the little things, you know. Do you remember how hard it was sometimes at work to do those little things? Oh, that'll take me 5 minutes. And it just didn't go right that day. Well, you know, it always is supposed to go right with God. It's just our craziness. I can't find a good word for it that interferes. And he understands that it's like on the tip of your tongue, you know, you're waiting for something. And you know it can happen. Anyways, praise God, glory to God.
Amen. I'd like to close out the night with a great, wonderful song. That's been banging in my head ever since I heard it earlier. Behold, he comes. Here it comes, y'all.
Behold. Lift your voice. of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Behold, he
the dry bones becoming as fresh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, yes Lord. The fields are as white in your word. Yes, and we are the laborers in your Jehovah. There's no God like 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 Jehovah. Nobody, not Buddha, not Mahatma.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Now try to get some sleep. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, for this awesome, awesome lady that sings that song. She wails it out there like it ought to be wailed. We praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. We thank you, Lord, that tonight is a change in all of our lives. And we're going to treat everybody like Jesus from this point on. With your help, Lord, with your grace and your mercy. And I think even the worst ones that comes against us, Lord, we're going to just smile at them and just love on them. Glory to God. And we thank you for it, Father, putting that in our hearts. In Jesus' name. All right. Y'all be blessed. You hear?